Hello and welcome to the Rugby Analyst Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Muddy. This week we welcome Henry Mander of the English U20s. Henry, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Chris. Yeah, good to meet you.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to ask, where are you from and where's home now?
So I'm originally from down in Cornwall in the southwest of England. So about another, for the rugby guys out there, about another hour and a half further south than the next. Currently living back up in Bath, so still southwest of England. Living in Bath currently.
All right, sweet. And how did you get to your current position as the U20 performance analyst?
So my analyst journey started off at university. Did my dissertation there, and then from there managed to get a role straight out of there into the Premiership with Bath. Did 2 years there at Bath, made some good connections there, went over to Australia for a little bit, and then, yeah, it's still through the connections I made at my time at Bath that drew me back for that, the England under-20s role.
Cool. And what was it like being a performance analyst in the Premiership?
Unbelievable, especially, like I said, because that was my first job straight out of university, going straight into the Prem, and at a club like Bath as well, which is, was phenomenal getting to exposed to, you know, some of the country's best players, coaches, and the facilities that we had out at Farley House as well were unbelievable.
Yeah, great. And at one point you were also an analyst for a football side. What was that like?
Over in Australia, yeah. So that was Australian AFL, Aussie Rules Football. It was wicked. It's something that I never thought I'd do before. So, yeah. We went over to Australia without real sort of, my wife and I didn't really have much of a plan. We knew that we wanted to get out there and live there for a little while. Sort of got in contact with some of the rugby teams over there, but the staffing at the time was just a bit smaller and there wasn't sort of the room and the budget. Spoke to a guy in Queens and Reds, Matt Todd, had a good chat with him. But yeah, just the rugby side wasn't quite working out at the time. So I thought, oh, I'll reach out to the football teams over there, and yeah, got in touch with the Gold Coast Suns, and yeah, it was a totally different experience to what I was used to sort of in the Premiership with that side of the analysis. But getting exposed to, you know, AFL's, I think it's their second or third sport over there, whereas actually rugby's down about fifth, sixth. So yeah, it was a great experience. Didn't last as long as I wanted it to, but yeah, a great while it lasted.
I've found talking to analysts, they all seem to want to potentially be analysts in other sports someday besides rugby. So do you see yourself at some point going back to AFL or actual proper football or some other kind of sport?
I do. Again, it's similar to everyone, really. I do. The thought of getting involved in another sport and going back to another sport is great, but my passion is within rugby. And I think because you have that, you build an understanding of the sport that I feel like I have the most, could have the most impact. I can do my best work in that environment. But yeah, definitely always open for golf. Something that I've always thought as an analyst would be pretty interesting, especially around those Ryder Cup competitions and the match play stuff. That's something that I'd love to explore down the track, maybe.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. Great. And so being part of the England performance analyst team, I think you're employed by Insight Analysis. Can you just tell me a little bit about Insight Analysis and the separation between the RFU?
Technically I am employed by Insight Analysis, but my role is directly with England under-20s and the RFU there. So Insight as a company looks after, they actually do look after a whole range of different sports. So they've got contracts with LTA, the FA. We've done some stuff with British Ski and Snowboard. So they're just sort of analysis company that have different arms as such to reach out and provide analysis support for different sports across the country.
Cool. Great. And so what's your favorite level of rugby to watch?
I think it's definitely those Heineken Cup, Champions Cup, where, you know, those big European games. Just remember growing up as a kid watching those Wasps to Lose games and Biarritz at their prime, Munsters, Leicesters, Northamptons, and yeah, that those big European games, especially when you get towards those quarterfinals, semifinals, they're just so exciting, the atmosphere. And again, in my time at Bath, I think, you know, I look back and one of my favourite games was when we played in the quarterfinal away to Leinster at the Aviva. It was just a crazy experience, and especially with their supporters over there, just so animated and passionate about the game. It's funny because actually in the box at the Aviva, it's all soundproofed and you're in this glass box and you can't actually get to almost experience it as much. But I remember we had an issue with one of the feeds or the ref mic, and I had to run out at the start of the game. And it was only when I opened that door and you heard the atmosphere in the ground. It was something like I'd never experienced. And yeah, definitely those European weekends where you got rugby on back to back and everyone's just got, yeah, the pressure is, yeah, brilliant.
That's cool. I imagine Six Nations is on the same level.
Yeah, definitely. And again, so we normally play as the under-20s, we play the day or the night before the senior guys. Mm-hmm. But again, yeah, like you said, those back-to-back weekenders during the Six Nations is pretty special.
Cool. So I imagine you've been watching a lot of the Premiership, and we'll be watching some of the Pro 14 as that comes back this weekend.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, just are you seeing any kind of trends, or is anything standing out to you in those games?
I'm just pumped to have rugby back on the TV. It's awesome. But no, again, this, you know, we're only the second week into the Premiership as we speak. You can definitely see teams are trying to adapt to a few of the new rules that have been brought in since the coronavirus started, and you know, there's nothing quite like 15 on 15 at the weekend against opposition. You know, teams can prep as much as they can for game scenarios against your own squad, but yeah, there's still a bit of rustiness, and I think that'll get worked out, especially as these games come a bit thicker and faster. But yeah, I think just trends of the game generally at the moment. You know, kicking is always a stat that gets talked about, especially more recent times. And I think that'll be a close one to look at, and the different sort of areas of kicking and kicking on the front foot, and those sorts of areas.
Cool. And how many of your U20 players are playing in these Premiership games?
So, last weekend we just had one guy. This weekend we're in currently. We're looking at probably, I think, especially as those games start to come a bit clear, I think we'll have around sort of 10 players in and around those match day squads.
Cool. So how much are you analyzing their performance in these matches for your selection process?
Yeah, so I work quite closely with our head coach, and I'll pull bits and pieces together, but sort of for these first few, especially because the lads haven't played for so long, it's just, we're just trying to get them back playing, and few of these guys will be their Premiership debut, so it's trying not to bombard them. So we'll probably pretty much leave those guys to it, and it'll just be myself and the coach that will be tracking how they're playing, where they're playing, and yeah, mainly just trying to keep a handle on their minutes and work out, you know, who's been playing where and how long it's been since they've actually played some rugby.
Cool. And I don't know, this are the U20 Six Nation matches, are they going to happen this fall, or just like the regular matches?
Yeah, no, unfortunately not. Some funding issues, and because with the TV rights, etc. Ours has been postponed for this year, along with our Junior World Cup. So yes, focus is on for next season and prepping for that, which is good. So I get a bit of extended time and lead up into that. So yeah, just doing everything we can to, fingers crossed, make sure everything goes back nice and smooth next year.
Yeah. Great. And now to get into the hard work of being a performance analyst, what statistics are you analyzing for the team?
So again, I remember John speaking last week, you know, most teams are pretty much looking at similar things these days. But I try and align everything I do with the senior team. Just because we found that in the past, especially these last few years, you know, there's a lot of guys that will play in our under 26 nations and might miss our Junior World Cup because they get called into senior camp. So I'm just trying to make sure I'm aligned as much to those guys so that it makes the transition for the guys going through as easy as possible. You know, language is the same. Then stuff's laid out in the same format. Yeah, just to try and ease that transition, really.
And in what ways did statistics impact your coaching?
So currently, our head coach, Alan Dickens, at the moment, he's put a big emphasis on sort of more analysis on ourselves and controlling sort of what we can control. So it's a lot more, yeah, like I said, on focuses on us, because especially going into those first sort of, but definitely the first Six Nations game, you're going in pretty blind because no games have been played prior to that. Squads have changed from the year before with the age bracket. And then even that second game, you've only really got one performance to judge that team that you're playing second up. So he sort of flipped on his head and said, you know, well, let's control what we can control. Let's analyse what we can rather than sort of clutching at straws. So, yeah, it's a lot. Focus has been quite a bit more on us, which, again, I think for the guys in that 20s environment, I think is perfect.
Interesting. Great. And is there any key metrics or one key metric that you think teams could focus on to help improve their results?
Again, with rugby being so dynamic and, you know, different coaches involved, I think everyone's got their own specific thing that they think they're looking at. But what I would say on that one is I've worked with a few different environments, or I've seen a few different environments where, you know, going into a game, they might say the key metric is, right, we need to try and steal X amount of line-out ball, or, you know, but then actually the game happens, and because there's so much emotion attached to it, when they actually review, they forget about that metric that they were going to look at the start of the game and look at something different because of how the game unfolded, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what I would say, and where we've been trying to align things as well, is actually, you know, if we're saying we're going to look, we try and keep it pretty simple going into each game. We don't have many. But what we do is, if we said that we're going to look at them and we prep the guys for those metrics, we make sure that our review of that game is done on those metrics. So you can actually, you know, that way you find out if your game plan was right or if it was wrong. But yeah, I'll just say, yeah, trying to, if you're going to measure a metric and measure it on a game, make sure you do it after the game.
Okay, cool. And what software are you guys using?
So we're SportsCode for our main analysis software, and then Keynote, like a lot of teams in rugby. But I have been trying to, again, especially during lockdown, I've been exploring a few different options and just things to try and change it up for myself, for the guys, for the coaches. So I've been looking into a little bit of, we heard of a company called Prezi. So it's sort of an online base. You can have download the desktop, I think, but yeah, just to try and present information slightly differently. It just adds sort of a different dimension, which I think I'm going to try and bring into my workflow if I can. And then just, yeah, bits around Tableau, Power BI, and yeah, trying to break down that big data into some more manageable visual pieces, really.
Great. And kind of what does your workflow actually look like in terms of, I guess, what does the process look like on a week-to-week basis?
Yeah, again, so depending on where we're at in the season, going in towards that Christmas, so start the season to Christmas, we have a couple of training camps, so we'll be trying to monitor who's playing where, like I said before, how many minutes, how they're getting on, going into those camps before the Six Nations, and then yeah, sort of into Six Nations is just ripping in, and it's long days going into those back to back weeks, but yeah, they're brilliant. And like you said before, those Six Nations fixtures, especially this last year, we just had France away as our opening fixture was brilliant down in Grenoble. I think there was 18 or 20,000 people there. It was awesome. So yeah, just trying to get as much prep going into those Six Nations games as possible, just so then it makes that those test weeks nice and smooth.
And then during the match, what are you focused on?
So, yeah, again, similar to John, what he was saying previously is around mainly you've got ref mic in your ear there, so trying to interpret, especially around scrum time, mainly is, you know, what's happening and trying to get a feel for the game because you have that, you do have that earpiece to try and take a bit from there. And then, again, because I've got three coaches and it's just myself, it's trying, and, you know, they've all got their certain areas that they want to look into. So it's almost trying to be another set of eyes and ears for them because they're sort of watching it through their one lens and you're trying to give the game as a whole. And yeah, just trying to pick up anything that we might have seen during the week that either, you know, like we said before, based on ourselves that we want to try and implement or some of the opposition. Again, it's just trying to pick up on those little one percenters that, you know, might be a little trigger that we can feed into the lads or for the coaches. It's just, yeah, just making that match day process as stress-free as possible, which sometimes it isn't.
Those like 1% things, are those things that you've pre-planned or pre-thought of, or are they kind of spontaneous?
Again, sometimes it might be, you know, say, like I said, there's a certain trigger that we're looking for in terms of, right, if we want to run this launch here or that certain play, or it might be something that's, you know, you pick up in the heat of the battle. Again, it might not be used, but if it can be, and like I said, if it is that little 1% that can help influence the guy's thought process down on the pitch, then perfect. And if not, yeah, just trying to help really any way you can.
And what about at halftime? What are you preparing and how are you presenting it?
There's no sort of no hard and fast rule at under 20 level. It's pretty tough because the halftime's actually only 10 minutes long. So by the time the guys have come in, sort of been assessed by the physios, you're almost, you know, took on some fluid. They're almost straight back out there. So we get, again, you're trying to make those messages nice and short, sharp and clear. Because again, with three coaches, they each want, you know, their little message to their core groups or units. So sometimes it might just be a screenshot, you know, some backfield play or whatever it might be, just a small visual. Sometimes it might just be a message from one of the coaches. But yeah, just trying to keep whatever it is, it varies, but just trying to keep it real short, sharp and concise. Again, just to not cloud the guys' minds, but give them something that they might be able to use later on that half.
And so while you guys are assembled as a team, what are you sending out for film and how often?
Yeah, so again, like you said, when we're together, it's, you know, we have quite a few meetings and days do become quite long. So we do, you know, we try and get the content out within the meetings during the day so that when the guys are, you know, have had their dinner and that, they can get their rehab and their prehab and their physio and or just get some kip so they don't actually get bombarded with footage. But again, sometimes I try and limit the amount of stuff that I send of their own individual match clips. Just because, again, it's trying to open their eyes up to sort of the wider, you know, wider world of rugby and that there's other stuff going on out there, whether it's stuff in the Premiership I try and reference or whether it's senior players in their position that they might want some pointers from or but yeah, then when they're back at the club, because they've got so much going on there, it would just be, again, real. If I do send anything, it's nice and short and sharp that doesn't interfere with their club environment, or I save it until they get back into, we're back into camp.
Cool. Great. So what have you been doing during lockdown to help your team improve?
Yeah, it's been a strange old time. Again, like I said, trying to make the most of the time that we do have and trying to learn a few different softwares. And it was almost just giving everything that I already had set up a bit of a refresh, just to make it, you know, to make things more manageable when we are back up and running. So yeah, just a lot of learning, and just trying to maximize or enhance sort of my workflow so I can be as efficient as possible when we hit the ground running, really.
Great. We've already kind of talked about this or touched base on it a little bit, but what do you think your ultimately trajectory is or your kind of goals for your coaching career?
Yeah. So I love the role that I'm currently in at the moment, you know, working with some of these lads and the coaching group that I'm lucky enough to work with at the moment and the other staff. It's a great role. And I want rugby to be back up and running with crowds, because like I was saying before, those environments on match day are unbelievable. You know, even for me as an analyst, let alone, you know, I want those crowds back there for the guys that love playing in front of those crowds and big games. Look, eventually I'd love to be up working with the senior team. Having been brought up and watching rugby all my life, you know, those Lions tours that you see on the TV and speaking with some of the guys that I know that have been part of it, being involved in one of those Lions tours, I think would be once in a lifetime opportunity and something that I'd love to be part of one day. I think that would be my end goal, I think.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. I can't even imagine getting to actually go watch one of them, let alone being a part of the team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just like you said, and it's even the relationships you make off the back of that, and you know, that's something that I pride myself on. I enjoy building the relationships with the coaches and the group that I'm with, and being part of one of those would be next level.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. So just to kind of wrap up, do you have three coaches that you admire or follow?
I think probably, I guess, from a little bit of bias, really. When I first joined Bath, we had a great coaching group there. And someone who's gone on, who's back at Bath now, is Neil Hatley. Obviously, seeing his transition from Bath through to England and then back at Bath. He's a great bloke, and he sees the game. He's passionate about the game, and yeah, just his understanding for the game and how he delivers things to the players is, yeah, I really like the way he does stuff there. Other coaches, sort of more of a on the analysis side, Darren Lewis at Gloucester. Again, he's sort of taken a slightly, you know, most analysts, it's Sports Code and Keynote, but Darren's always out there looking for different alternatives. So I quite like seeing what he's up to, because he's always finding something a bit different, which is always pretty refreshing as well. And then thirdly, who else? So again, we're looking over at that Super Rugby. It would be Razor. Just again, like his attitude. Don't know him personally at all or anything like that. But just the way, again, just a refreshing character in the rugby environment. That I think he knows where he wants to get to and how the style of game he likes to play. And he's building a good group of coaches around him. And yeah. That'd be my third.
Yeah, the Crusaders' dominance is unmatched. And I read an article earlier that he might be part of the Lions tour, or well, that he was positioning himself.
Again, I don't know what I think on that, but you know, it'd be cool to see some either homegrown or, you know, British Isles coach linking with Warren Gatland. But again, that combination of Gatlin and him would be pretty exciting. So yeah, never want to rule it out.
Yeah, definitely. And then just the final question, do you have a cool or obscure fact about rugby that you think people should know?
Cool, obscure fact. So again, I don't know how most people might be aware of this, but you used to be able to score if you just touch the ball at the bottom of the post pad. But that's actually changed now. So you can't, that's no longer a thing. What else? I read a while during lockdown as well that apparently a try never used to be worth any points. Yeah. And it was called a try because it gave the team the chance to try for a kick a goal, which is how a team would score their points, which I don't think many people would know.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you for the facts. They both actually have been on the show.
So, have they?
Yeah. I actually told the story about how I had a friend who tried to score. He thought that he could just score a try putting the ball anywhere on the post. He didn't realize you have to score it at the base of the post. So the referee just kind of stood there looking at him, like wondering like what he was trying to accomplish. But yeah, and then the try not being worth any points. Yeah, that's definitely like a wild way to play the game. It definitely would encourage scoring in the near the middle of the posts more often, but
yeah, definitely.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for your time. I hope you enjoyed it.
Thanks for having me on. Good to meet you, Chris.
Absolutely. Great to meet you as well. Cheers.
Cheers.